Have you ever been really, really, really thirsty? You know, I'm not sure thirst is something we identify with too much. Maybe because it rains so much here, not very often very hot. We often, I think, identify more with hunger, I guess. But thirst is more important than hunger. We living organisms have to regulate the amount of water in our bodies. If our cells have more water inside them than around them, then they can rupture. If there's more water in a cell than outside, then the water will leave the cell and the cell won't be able to function properly. If we don't have enough fluid, our blood volume overall decreases, and because blood is the stuff that carries oxygen to your organs, there's not enough of that, your organs will become starved of oxygen. Neither of these situations is good. Both will lead fairly quickly to death if we don't get rehydrated. Both of these causes trigger our body's thirst reaction. This alerts us of the impending disaster and gets us to take on a drink really quickly. John 4 verse 3 says this: Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So Jesus comes across this lady, I do wish she had a name, who's thirsty and had gone to the well to draw up some water. Jesus is also thirsty and so asks the lady for a drink. And there are three strange things about this encounter. Firstly, it took place the sixth hour, which is midday, the hottest part of the day. Not the time for coming out to do really heavy work like drawing water up from a well. Secondly, it was not culturally acceptable for Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, to speak to a woman. Women just didn't have the same standing in society as men. And thirdly, the lady was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew, and the two just did not speak to each other. So what's going on? This is not just a random encounter. Jesus is making a deliberate point. Firstly, the chances are that the lady had a reason to be visiting the well at the hottest time of the day. Possibly she was some kind of social outcast. And yet here is Jesus offering her, this lady of ill repute, something he calls living water. Secondly, women were viewed in this society as inferior to men. They would not have been educated or involved in any kind of leadership or government. And yet here is Jesus offering this uneducated second-class citizen something he calls living water. You know, Samaritan history, there were a group of people who were actually quite racially mixed. Some were Jewish, some had a Gentile heritage. They had their own version of scripture, and Jews viewed them, the Samaritans, as being spiritually unclean. And although we still have racial tension today, it's hard to imagine a time when you just never spoke to a whole particular group of people based on their racial heritage alone. And yet, here is Jesus offering this spiritually unclean person something he calls living water. Jesus is a rule breaker. So how does the lady respond? Verse 11 continues, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up to everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Now we see some confusion. You see, Jesus is offering what he calls living water, and the lady is still talking about H2O that you can pull up from out of the well. So what is this living water that Jesus is talking about? You know, 700 years or so earlier, a prophet called Isaiah said these words, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. You see, in the same way that we in our bodies need to drink fluid in order to keep ourselves alive, we need something else to keep our souls alive. We need living water for a living soul. Every soul has that longing for something, and we find many, many ways of trying to quench that thirst. And Isaiah said it. He said this, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? But we do, don't we? We're bombarded with advertising for things that will make our world just a little bit more complete, just a little bit more joyful. You've worked hard all year. You deserve that break in the sun. You'll look so much better in those clothes. That gadget is going to make your life so much easier. And then we arrive at a time like this, like no other, when the holiday in the sun just isn't going to happen. I'm so gutted, but it isn't going to happen. No one is seeing us really outside of our family. So what does it matter what I wear? You know, and I could wear what I wore yesterday again. No one will know. And you know, I don't really need my life to be made so much practically easier, because I've got all the time in the world right now to do the things that I need to do. So why do we spend our money on that which is not bread, and our labour on what doesn't satisfy? It's a really good question, especially now. So what is this living water that will give life to our souls and satisfy that desire? What is the water that Jesus is offering this Samaritan woman? More words from Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 3 says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessings upon your descendants. Jesus is offering his spirit to live inside of us and be like an ever-flowing spring of water which will constantly satisfy our soul's insatiable desire. And this is what Jesus meant when he said to the lady, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But why offer this gift to a female, racially unclean, social outcast? Surely there were much more deserving, much nicer people out there for Jesus to talk to. But this is Jesus's message. This is the point. Jesus's message is for everyone. Right from the person who might think they're at the top of the goodness tree to the lowest of the low. You may feel unworthy, or that a relationship with Jesus is impossible because of who you are or what you've done. But this is simply not true. And Jesus shows us this through this story. Jesus wants a conversation with you. Whoever you are, whatever your standing is in society. Jesus is a rebel. He doesn't play by the rules. So what happens? Let's continue with the story. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one with whom you now live is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Here's where we find out why the lady may be considered to be a social outcast. She's had quite a number of partners in her lifetime. We don't know why. Maybe she was widowed. Maybe she'd been unfaithful. Maybe she's been abused by her husbands. Whatever the reasons that she was currently living with a man to whom she was not married, Jesus doesn't condemn. He merely points out the facts. And the lady immediately goes for a kind of change of subject. Oh, you're a prophet. Well, I do worship God, you know. It's just different mountain to the one that you think is right, being a Jew. She begins to try and justify herself. But you know, Jesus brings in a new covenant. No longer will people be tied to worshipping in a particular physical place, physical location, or to perform particular rituals. In the new day that is coming, true worship is worship in spirit and in truth. The physical restrictions and the places are gone. Worshipping God is a worship of a spirit and who is in all places, everywhere and all the time. And this is why we never go to church. We say we do, and we go, but we're not going to a sacred place where we can engage in worship. We're just gathering as church. We are the church. We Christians are the church, and we can worship anywhere and at any time. And that's just as well right now, isn't it? And we have that well inside of us that satisfies our deepest desire. Right now, this is a really good thing. This is why, despite the lockdown and the closing of church buildings, the church is very much alive and well. And finally, the lady receives the revelation of who Jesus is. You see, that's what's needed. If you're not a believer in Jesus, there's no point trying to force it or to make yourself believe in something. What you need is a revelation from God that Jesus is who he says he is, and you put your faith and your trust in him. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So are you thirsty today? Do you recognize that you have a desire for something deep down inside of you? Maybe you can't even put your finger on it, but you know it's there. And it's something that just never feels quite satisfied. There's a discontentment, a sense that you're missing something. You know, Jesus holds out his hands to you today. What if you miss him? What if you miss that opportunity to receive this living water that will satisfy that deep desire. Don't make excuses about who you are or what you've done or what your background is, because we've learned today that Jesus doesn't take notice of such things. Jesus knows all of that, but like the lady of the well, he still wants a conversation with you. So why not ask him today? Why not ask Jesus for a revelation of who he is? You can respond to this in different ways. You might think, well, I'm sort of interested, but I have so many questions. And if that's you, then I would really, really invite you to join up with the Alpha course, because that's a perfect place to ask whatever questions that you want to ask in a safe environment. No question is a bad question at Alpha. Maybe you want to begin to talk to Jesus today. Maybe by faith you want to speak to him. You want to say, I want a revelation of you, Jesus. I want to know that you are who you say you are. I want to have this living water. I want that deep well within me that satisfies my deepest desire. And you know, if that's you, I would just invite you to click on the request prayer button and we can talk to you more privately about what that means. Maybe you are a Christian today, and maybe you recognise that within you there is still a sense of dissatisfaction, and maybe you know you've lost some of your thirst for God. As Christians, you know, we can still get bombarded by all of the things in the world, all the things that we have to do and to be and to get on with in life. And, you know, sometimes we have to have moments where we come back and we say, Jesus, will you just make me really thirsty for you again? Because without that living water constantly flowing, it can become a bit stagnant and we kind of lose where we are. So maybe you as a Christian today want to pray and say, Jesus, make me thirsty. Make me really, really thirsty for you. Because I know that when I'm thirsty for you, you will satisfy that deep desire within me with your living water. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and that you were and are that Messiah, the Christ, the one who brings that good news, the one who brings that living water, that deep, deep satisfaction in life. We thank you, Jesus, that you are who you say you are. And I pray today that anyone who's watching this, wherever they're from, whatever their background, will just have that sense that you care about them and you want that conversation with them. Wherever they're from, whatever they've done, whatever their background, that you, Jesus, want that conversation. And I pray that you will speak into people's lives today as they listen to this. And Father, for those of us who are Christians, I just pray you will increase that desire, you will increase that thirst for you. Your word says that if we hunger and we thirst after you, we will be filled. And I pray for that filling again today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.